everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Meredith Locker. Hey, if you guys are watching this video anywhere else except calbanyan.com, you want to go there because right below this video is all the links that are associated with the program and also supporting text and graphics and all that kind of stuff. Let me introduce to you my... She just informed me she's no longer the co-host. She is now the co-star of the show, Meredith Locker, and she is a hypno-star. Let me tell you why. She's a one percenter. She's a real best of the best hypnotist. Very few in the world are as good as Meredith, and I know because I supervised her when she worked at our center. I've seen her work. It's really excellent. She has a master's degree in psychology. She also was a talk therapist before we transformed her into a hypno wonder. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm great, Cal. Of course we're co-stars. If you're a star, then I'm the co-star. We've got a fan page now, Cal.
You know, that makes sense to me. I mean, if we've got, on Facebook.com, Hypnosis, Etc., that's HypnosisETC, we can go there and get into our little fan page and find out what's going on a daily basis with Meredith and with me and the show. How's that make you feel, Meredith?
I love it. And for those of you who don't know why Cal is a star, he is, because he is the creator of the One Percenters. He is the man who created Five Path, who created Seventh Path, and then didn't just stop there. He's bringing it to the masses. He once was a therapist, has a master's in psychology, and he decided to take it a step further and get into hypnosis and created the beautiful thing that most of us use every time we work with our clients called Five Path. And I am proud to be your co-star, Cal.
Boy, whenever you're not on vacation, you're my co-star. You have any vacations coming up?
You know what? I'm working on it. I actually want to go back to Kauai, and I also am planning a trip to, where am I going? To Sedona and Taos, New Mexico.
Wow. You're just kind of a traveling girl, aren't you?
I am. I've decided to go on a pilgrimage.
A pilgrimage?
Yes.
Where are you going?
All over the place. I've decided I have not been traveling enough over the years. I've worked way too hard, and it's time for me to take breaks. And now that I schedule myself, I can do that.
Wow. That's one of the nice things about our profession. One is you can, you make appointments for working when you want to work.
Exactly. And I thought it was going to be a big deal, taking time off, that, my clients would have a hard time and new clients calling would get put off. And you know what? It was no big deal at all with this last trip. No big deal at all. So I am going to continue with this. And because of taking these trips, I'm more energized. I'm, more capable of helping my clients the way I really want to help them. So it actually benefits them.
I think you're right. And you know what? You're so lovable. They just go along with whatever you say anyway.
They sure do.
Hey, let me make a couple announcements before we get rolling with the hypnosis questions. All right. Let's see. I got a hypnosis certification course coming up in October. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. I'll leave a link below. And we have the Week of Power, which is hypnosis certification and advanced certification for those who are already trained and certified in the profession. And so you only need 7 days of training instead of 10. And, it's the fastest way, I think the best way to become a one percenter. Best of the best, top 1% in the field of hypnosis. Let's see, what else do I have here? We talked about our fan page. We talked about, our hypnospace is continuing to grow. Go there, ourhypnospace.com. You get a blog, you get a place to put videos. There's groups, and it's growing every day, and you can get on the conversation. It's just a good time. All right, that's it. Why don't you go ahead and get the show going from the hypnosis point of view?
Great, sounds good. Well, Cal and I were talking earlier about a post that was on one of our Yahoo groups, and, we decided we wanted to kind of share this, and, it brought up a lot of interesting issues, and we're going to kind of have a little father theme this particular podcast, because we actually have a couple different questions and posts about fathers, and so we're going to kind of get into that. But the post was really about, it was posted by a hypnotist who made some comments that kind of brought up several things that both Cal and I thought were important to discuss. And this client, it basically, the post is about a client who came in for loneliness and claiming to be lonely, going through a divorce, and has been sleeping on mom's couch, moved out of the house that he had lived in with his wife and has moved in with mom, and has been sleeping on mom's couch, and has a fear of getting his own place, and so he's been having panic attacks. And so, do you want me to give any more detail right now, Cal, or do you want to just start launching into it?
Why don't you, let's kind of take this systematically, because you know how I am, I'm very systematic.
Yes.
What was this individual's complaint? From the client's perspective, why did this individual come in to see the hypnotherapist?
Because he was feeling lonely.
And what was his reason for feeling lonely?
His wife had an affair, which launched him into a divorce, and as a result of that, he moved in with his mother, sleeping on the couch, and has a fear of moving out on his own, being alone.
Good. You know what we're going to do is, why don't you just go ahead and kind of hit the highlights of that whole email message, and then we'll go through it again step by step.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so loneliness being the key theme, mainly any fear that was mentioned was a fear of getting lonelier, feeling like he couldn't really control the level of loneliness. And anytime he thinks about getting his own apartment, he'd have a panic attack. And the hypnotherapist did use 5-PATH, and the ISE, by all appearances, seemed to be the father's death when the client was 2 years old. And after doing, informed child technique with the client, they did not feel any relief. And so doing apparently age regression on session 2, afterwards, no relief. And the description was a gut-wrenching feeling that just wasn't going away. And then so the client appeared at session 3 and still had that gut-wrenching feeling that he very clearly was feeling in his stomach, according to kind of his visual impressions he was giving. And he seemed to be getting less and less sleep, continuing to have more problems. Further age regression did not resolve it. And so after session 4, this client was still not feeling any relief from the process.
All right. And so let me kind of, I've been taking some notes here. First of all, as far as we know, the hypnotist that did this work is very well trained. And so we can't, And there's a lot of details in that message that we really need to know in order to talk about this specific case. So we're not going to be able to talk about this specific case and what the work was done by this specific hypnotist. But as we talked about it before we did this video, I thought, here are some interesting things that we can talk about in general that hypnosis professionals need to watch out for. Is that kind of what you got from that, Meredith, our
discussion? Absolutely, yes.
Okay, good. All right. So first of all, one of the things is the client comes in complaining of being lonely. Now, this is, and they want my, he says, I want my loneliness to go away. And we find out that this person is divorcing or separating from his spouse after she had this affair. And so guess what? When you lose a relationship in your life, you're supposed to be lonely. And I would recommend that everyone, if you haven't already done so, go to the website, thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. Again, that's www.thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. secretlanguageoffeelings.com. And that's a special website I set up, and it's got some audio podcasts on it that explain all this to you. And there's also a book that goes along with the Secret Language of Feelings book. And this is the deal. If a person is feeling lonely and they have just lost a significant relationship, they're supposed to be lonely. So that we don't want to hypnotize away at feelings that are based in reality. So immediately I'm thinking, okay, is the amount of loneliness that this person claims to be experiencing, is it in proportion to what's going on? And I suppose you could be really, 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 really lonely if you suddenly, your spouse, after years of having your spouse, is suddenly gone out of your life. So I immediately began to wonder about this loneliness thing. And then, Meredith, as you started reading more and more, we found that he was staying at his mother's place or something, right?
Correct.
And so with this, he also complained of having panic attacks, right?
Yes.
Okay. Panic attacks are not loneliness. Those are feelings of fear. Now, I want to kind of do a disclaimer here. When your client says, the cause of my problem is, you can almost always be sure that that's not going to be the cause of the problem. That's what they think it is, and they're usually wrong. Now, second part of this disclaimer is, the person says, I have panic attacks. Now, we're just talking in general about this case. And we don't know if this person has ever been medically or psychologically diagnosed as having panic attacks. So we're not going to really use that term. So he becomes really, really afraid. And, you know, maybe his heart beats quickly and he feels very, very afraid. And so here, now we have another emotion that's come up. Now, we don't know whether or not this hypnotist, how the work was done. Now, we know that this person is a five-path hypnotherapist, and she's a good one. So we know that phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing was done. And then so we know the person's going to the proper level of hypnosis. And then age regression. But here's the tricky thing. Did she regress on loneliness, or did she regress on the fear? Or did she use a general kind of situation suggestion like there's a feeling inside you that you don't like that has everything to do with why you've come here today? That's a really nice general way to get it started. And then whatever the feeling is, and then you begin to regress back using affect bridge on the emotion. When the person goes back to the first earlier time, which is an SSE, a subsequent sensitizing event, this is where we find out the truth of the matter. We get to find out, is this person experiencing loneliness, or is this person experiencing fear? Or I have a theory, there may be another feeling that came up. If you enter into a contract and someone breaks the contract, that's not fair. If someone says, I love you, I'm going to stay with you forever, I'm going to be only with you, and then they go off and have an affair, then that's not fair. That's not right. And according to the secret language of feelings, when someone perceives something as being not fair, what are they going to do? They're going to become angry. So we have three possible emotions that are going on here. One is loneliness, as reported by the individual, which seems to make sense, given the known history of the client. We've got possibly fear because of the what they call panic attacks. And then we've got anger. So how do we find out which of those feelings are causing the problem? And what we're going to do is, when we regress the person to the previous time, we say, we're going to follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way, we're going to ask the fantastic, fabulous five questions. Meredith, tell them what that is.
You are going to ask them what's happening. You are going to, well, after asking daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone, you're going to ask them who they're with, if they're with someone. Then you're going to ask them what's happening. And you're going to ask them what they're thinking, what they're feeling, how old they are, and whether the feeling is familiar or new.
Fabulous. Yes. Now, the daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone, or with someone are not part of the Fabulous Five. Those are just gestalt. I call it the background questions. It kind of helps them slip into the age regression. And then we're going to find out what's going on. What do you think about it? How do you feel about it? How old are you? And is it familiar or new? Now, the most important thing right here, and this is going to surprise people, in determining how they feel is not how they report what they feel. Remember, first question is what's happening? Second is what are you thinking? Third is what are you feeling? Okay, how old are you and familiar or new? Now, you'd think on the top of, you know, from just observing things, that when you ask them, how are you feeling, then the emotion that they express that they're feeling would be the emotion that's associated with the problem. And sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. How do you tell the difference? You find out what they're thinking, because this is how the mind works. We perceive a situation. We find out what the situation is with the question, what's happening? Then they have a thought about it. They give meaning to it, okay? And you say, what are you thinking? And it is their thinking that causes the emotion that is felt in the body that we call feelings. And we say, what are you feeling? Now, guess what? Most people don't understand their feelings that well. And if you ask them, how are they feeling, they will usually not get that right. So you cannot, even in the hypnotic regress state, if somnambulism, everything the way it's supposed to be, definitely count on the report of how they're feeling. What's more important is what are they thinking. If the person is thinking something bad is going to happen, or I'm not safe, that is the thought that causes fear. If the person is thinking, that's not fair that she did this to me, then the feeling they're experiencing is anger. Okay? If they're saying, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now that I don't have my wife? I'm not going to be able to run my life well. I'm not going to be able to perform well at work. These kinds of things, then that's fear. Now, guess what? Any one of those could be the problematic emotion, or two out of the three, or all three of those things could be part of the problem. And with that information, you can do an excellent job of working with the individual. Anything you want to add to that, Meredith?
Well, what about sadness, Cal? Couldn't sadness be one of the things that you would find with a situation like this?
Absolutely. Yes. And how do we know what it is? If they're thinking about, oh gosh, I've lost this thing or this person that's important to me. The perception of loss in and of itself can bring on the feeling of sadness. So now what we have to do is we want to follow back whichever is the most powerful emotion. That's where we start. Why would we start anywhere else, right? We're going to find out what, there they are in that regress state in the first situation. I call it the most salient emotion, the most powerful emotion. And if the person is mainly angry, then we're going to follow that one back. If they're mainly sad, we're going to follow that one back. If they're mainly fearful, whatever it is, we say focus on that feeling. Okay, is that feeling familiar or new? Now, if I just regress someone and they went to last Thursday, chances are they had that feeling before. And I'm not going to do an entire class on 5-Path. We just can't do that in the 5 or 10 minutes we have left. But what if from what I understand from this message is her age regression work wasn't successful as she wanted it to be. So what I would say is that what she needs to make sure of is that she's not being fooled by the report of the client in the normal waking state before the session as to the cause of the problem. Regress the individual to the most recent time they had the feeling, or a recent time they had the feeling. Find out what they were thinking. Even in the regressed state, their report on how they're feeling is not that reliable. Focus on what they're thinking. That's where the Secret Language of Feelings book is so important, because I teach in that book and also on that website. Free audios on the website. Go there, listen to them. You're going to have a better understanding than most hypnotists around the world on how to what makes people tick. People don't do so much what they think they should do as so much of what they feel like doing. Emotions are pure energy, powerful motivational energy. So in that regressed state, we're going to find out what they're thinking and what they're feeling, the most powerful emotion, follow it back, find the ISE, neutralize it. Now, let me squeeze in one more thing. And that is, if the ISC can generate more than one emotion. And in this case, of course, we can't talk specifically about this case, but we're using it as an example that here's this individual, a small child, a toddler, and his father dies. Think of all the emotions that could come from that. Sadness from loss, just like Meredith mentioned. It could be anger. The kid could say, that's not fair that my daddy died. The child could also feel lonely. Now the father's gone. There's this big empty spot in his life. So we could have fear. Who's going to take care of us now that dad's gone? And if all of those emotions are there, what you want to do is then work with the ISE. Now, okay, I'm going to get this one little tidbit in here. I could go on all day long about this one example. You know, you could write a whole book about this one example, but I want to get some stuff you could use tomorrow if you're going to do some age regression work. Is that we're going to go before the ISE, before that initial sensitizing event. In this case, it's the father's death. And we're going to then give the child the information that he or she needs so that the child can go through the event without being negatively affected by it. And I choose my words very carefully there. Not negatively affected by it. So what we have to do is check with the adult aspect of the client. We'll just say, be grown up. And we'll find out, what do you wish you would have known then that you know now? And we find out the erroneous thoughts that were going on inside the child's mind. For example, the child might think, oh, my father's dead. There's nobody to take care of us. We're going to starve to death. And obviously, if the client is in my chair 20, 30, 40 years later, they didn't starve to death. And if that was the thought that was causing the fear, then we can go before the ISE and we can inform the child. It's called the informed child technique. Let the child know that he gets to grow up, he doesn't die, and we can run through the event without that fear. Now, but there's another good example of when we would leave an emotion. Sometimes we need to leave the emotion in state in the child. And in this case, a good example of it would be like Meredith said, well, maybe the child would be sad. Well, the child loses the father. That's obviously someone important in their life. The child is supposed to feel sad in that case. So we don't try to hypnotize that sadness away. The sadness needs to stay in place because it's based in reality. The sadness being left inside the child is there to motivate the child to do the sometimes difficult things that he needs to do to either get back or replace his father. Now, obviously, can't get back. So in this case, it would be the motivating factor in the child bonding with a new male father figure in his life. For example, it might be an uncle. It might be a big brother that's much older than him. Or it could be that the mother remarries. And that it's that sadness inside that motivates the child to bond to the new father figure. Good. How are we doing on time there, Meredith?
Well, we're getting pretty close to wrapping it up, Cal, but I wanted to bring up something else. I mean, what is kind of being left out of this whole scenario is Mom and how Mom is reacting to the death of her husband, assuming that they were still married and still together at that time when the client was 2 years old and the father passed. But, you know, a two-year-old is still extremely bonded to Mom and responsive to Mom's emotional state and Mom's feelings of fear and loss. And so, you know, I mean, it's my instinct that I might want to ask, you know, where's Mom? And without getting too leading, you know, try to find out if there are any thoughts or connection or emotions that are connected to thoughts about Mom. Because that, you know, some of that might be based in reality and some of it might not, but it's an important thing to delve into, because if you are focused only on the feelings about Dad and the loss of Dad, you might miss out entirely on the feelings of the two-year-old in response to Mom's feelings. Any comments about that, Cal?
Yeah. I wouldn't go on that kind of fishing expedition. Of saying, well, how do you feel about Mom and stuff like that if she didn't come up in the regression or anything that he was thinking or feeling, any of that kind of report or what was going on? I just wouldn't go there. I don't think there's any harm in doing it, except that maybe taking up some time that didn't need to be taken up. Now, unless the person is saying, who's going to take care of me? And then I would say, I would then go to the grown-up aspect of the thing and say, hey, back then, who did take care of you? And we find out it was Mom. And then I would then say, well, good, grown-up, we're going to go back before this event, and I want you to tell the little one that Mom's going to be there for him. So, that's how I think about it.
Yeah, and I agree completely. I wouldn't go looking for it particularly, but oftentimes when I've had cases like this, the child is actually with Mom in the scenario, and it's really a reaction to Mom. I mean, the two-year-old doesn't necessarily understand that the father has died. The two-year-old feels the magnitude of what has happened from the mom. And so it's more a matter of, in the scenario, if Mom is present, and the reaction is to Mom, and that's a part of it, you know, dealing with it accordingly, but not going looking for it, of course.
Yeah, and we would find that out by asking the child what's happening and what's thinking, what they're thinking. And then if things happening, like let's say Mom's just totally going to pieces, you know, and we got to find out what the child's thinking and how they're feeling towards that. And again, that's where we use the grown-up. We'll talk to that grown-up aspect of our client to find out what was really going on from hindsight, and then give that child that information.
Well, and Cal, as far as the, you know, what the child was thinking goes, will you talk just a little bit about how far you drill down? I mean, oftentimes I get one comment, you know, just a few words, maybe not even a full sentence about what they're thinking. And, you know, I feel like I want more, but how far do you go before you say, okay, I've got enough information?
Well, I just want to really find out what they're thinking. I mean, for me, it boils down to what's happening. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is it familiar or new? And if we've found the ISC, then we know that we don't have to worry about familiar or new anymore. It's new. And I just keep drilling down until I have what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And then I reality test that. By the way, age regression is one big reality test against the perceptions of the grown-up aspect of the client and what I might be able to add to it just from a more objective kind of perspective.
Beautiful. Well, I think we've gotten into a lot of nitty-gritty. It's time for us to wrap it up. Anything else that you want to add before we wrap this one up?
Take it away.
All right. Well, we do have something else to talk about, talking about fathers and dealing with grief and that kind of thing, but we didn't have time to get to it this podcast, so we will be talking about that next podcast. Be sure to tune in a week from now. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much, those of you who are posting case studies on the different groups and all of that. It is so helpful to so many people. I mean, I think it's helpful to the new and the old hypnotists, and it definitely generates generates discussion like Cal and I are bringing into this podcast, and it generates discussion on the groups and all of that, and it really helps us all to learn the material at a much deeper level. So thank you so much for all of that. Please do send your comments and questions in any of the various ways that you can do that. You can post them on calbanion.com, post them on askcal@ourhypnospace.com. You can email them to me directly, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. You can post them in the comments section on Facebook at our fan page, facebook.com/hypnosisetc. Right? Is there anything after that, Cal?
facebook.com/hypnosisect, one word.
Yes, got it. Good. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Meredith did it all today. Cal Banion signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.